Welcome back to Young, Dumb, and Righteous with your hosts, Nick and Philip. I'm Philip, and the general message for today, honestly, we're just going to be talking about using God as guidance. And kind of a verse that we can kind of relate to that is in John chapter 8, verse 12. And if you want to turn there and read, you're more than welcome to. Just pause and get there. But it reads this: "And Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So God is definitely a guide for all of us, no matter what we're going through, no matter what darkness you may be in currently, he can take you out of it. And I know Nick has kind of some words just to kind of expand on that, to give a further insight.
Yeah, I think as Christians, most people understand that God is going to give us guidance. But I feel like the majority of people don't understand that he means that literally. So with the Holy Trinity being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I think of it as like the Almighty God, the Son, the sacrifice, the connection to God, and then the Holy Spirit, which is promised to us when we're, you know, we accept into our heart that the Spirit lives in us, and through the Spirit is where you're the hands and feet of God. So I just view that part of the Trinity as a literal guidance, because you start to hear the voice, and the closer you get to God, the louder that voice gets, and you start feeling that moment by moment, just really conviction. And it's not even conviction of things that you're doing, it's conviction of the thoughts you're having. And the thought is only, you know, you can tame your thoughts. So the Bible says to make your thoughts obedient to him, you know, so take those thoughts captive. I think when I understood that it's only a thought, you know what I mean? You don't actually have to act on that. And that's actually being guided. You know what I mean? By you battling that thought and choosing the right method is you taking that right step, walking by the Spirit.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you look at it from the perspective of like, how many of us have gotten in an argument with somebody and our first instinct might be to punch them. Some of us may have even gotten into an altercation. You might have tried to pull a gun out or some form of weapon. Or maybe you're just in a general situation. Your first thought is, you know, it'd be real nice to have a drink right now, or real nice to spark up something, or, you know, whatever your vice may be. But like Nick said, you don't have to act on those things. You could just, you know, there's the thing in the back of your head, that temptation, but then there's also the good side, and that's God, the light, guiding you away from that and showing you a better way to live and to you know, be a better person, to maybe get out of that situation. Maybe it's to alleviate the situation. Actually, I kind of want to give a shout out to my brother here who had an altercation on the road. He's a truck driver with an angry driver who actually pulled a gun on him, who my brother, surprisingly, of all things, diffused the situation and was able to actually calm the guy down, got him to put his gun away, and he was happy-go-lucky after that. I think a lot of us could be more like that, maybe a little less hot-headed, maybe a little bit less, a little less, you know, wanting to act on those impulses that we get and those temptations that the Satan tries to give us.
Right. What exactly what you said, we don't actually have to act on those thoughts. And I think when you know that making the right choice is going to actually have an effect, you know, like when you know that that wrong decision only goes down the downward spiral, you know, it makes the decision a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I just almost didn't understand that there was consequences. You know what I mean? Whether someone's watching or no one sees, but like everything you do is going to have some kind of consequence, you know? And the more that it, you know, I think the less that it costs on the front end is the more it's going to cost on the back end.
Correct.
You know?
I think a really good verse, I'm actually glad you brought up consequences to this, because the verse I had actually written down for this is in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13. This is kind of the story of Saul. So this isn't, for those of you who are familiar with Saul to Paul, this is a different story. This is actually Old Testament This is a different Saul who's a king who's being, he's having an army pretty much come against him, and in his dire time of need, as his army's coming down on him, instead of turning to God as for guidance and maybe doing the right thing, he actually turns to somebody else for guidance, and he falls on a sword. And in this verse, it tells us, again, 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13, it tells us, "So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also asking counsel of one that had familiar spirit to inquire of it." So he died because he didn't trust the Lord fully and wholly and didn't seek his guidance in his dire time of need, which ultimately led to his death.
Yeah, I think that also is just, you know, understanding that we have a real enemy. You know, that bad decision isn't just, you know, oh, I want this. You know, it's a trap. It's a trap. It looks small, and you're never going to make that deal with the devil if he presents himself as the devil. So it may be just a small thing, and it just will lead you down a trail. And then that ties into John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." But I think just understanding that we truly have an enemy that is after us. But when you pursue God and you're in the presence of Jesus, and the more you choose him, the more you suit up with the armor of God, the more the enemy starts to realize, okay, there's no turning him over. You know what I mean? He can only start biting your ankles, you know, trying to get you. Earlier today, I just had a long day. Philip showed up. We were getting ready for the podcast, and I mean, I was flustered. He was messing with me all day, and I was just talking about how I just had such a good day, and I was just dropping nuts and bolts and losing them, and just all kind of trucks were dying, and it was all kind of small stuff, but I was getting really upset about it. And he really was doing that to kind of knock me off my rocker. And as I was starting this podcast, man, I didn't have time to run home and get my notes for this, and just that small little, those small little instances and me getting upset and not being able to go do these other things really is impacted the route of this. But that just makes me think of the story of Moses, and that's what we were talking prior to this podcast, when he was too scared to go, you know, do the purpose of God when he told him to go get the Israelites out. And he, you know, God said, just don't worry about it. The Spirit will speak through you. And I believe that I truly, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I truly believe that I was given the Spirit. And I believe that I was given a new heart. And I just, the route that my life is beginning to take is the most un-Nick Melvin thing ever. And, you know, this is where you kind of get the young and dumb thing. So I'm young and dumb. So Nick Melvin by name is young and dumb. But I was, you know, gifted and wrapped around with the royal cloak. And I'm only now seen as who I am now. And I feel like that just kind of gives a little deeper definition. Philip is also, you know, he's got that spirit in him too. This man's alive. That's why we're here. And he's been digging in. We've both been digging in, getting ready for this. And I hope you guys are enjoying.
Yeah. And something too is, like, these are kind of off the cuff for the most part. Like, we write down some scripture and then we might have some notes we have. But for the most part, these are completely off the cuff, unscripted. Like, all right, just 3, 2, 1, record. Like, y'all miss it. Like, both of the episodes, this one and the prior one we did, we literally said a prayer before, like, just to, like, help us speak. We're so jittery. And, but we're also so happy to be here and to be able to do this and spread the word in the way that we are. I think it's just truly amazing what we're able to accomplish.
Yeah, absolutely. What we were talking about earlier is just Matthew 7:15. It talks about how you can tell a tree by its fruits. And with that being said, it opens up in Matthew 7:15 by saying, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits." And with that being said, I feel like there's a lot of in quotation, religious leaders of this world that are, you know, people who are the sheep's in the, or the wolves in the sheep's clothing. And there truly is no good fruits coming from them. We're here not by our, you know, mothers telling us that we need to do this, but by our own will and by truly the fruits of the new hearts that we've been given. This has become a new desire of ours, because Jesus, you know, growing up, almost felt like a burden topic to me. Like, it was like, you know, we're rushing through, I wanted to rush through the prayer so I could eat faster. And it was really more the relationship side that changed everything. I was in that more religion aspect of it in the beginning. And as soon as you can make the switch from understanding that it's way more simple than religion wants to say it is, you know, and the burden and the yoke of religion is way heavier than the one that he's actually offering for us, you know. And it's not like we're going to have to keep trying harder. And that's the hardest part about being a Christian, is you really, you know, there is times that you're going to have to try harder. But progressively, the more you're just diving in and taking it seriously and growing your relationship with him, the more that will and want to sin just starts to go away. You almost forget about it, you know. I was just telling him, I used to be a really bad, you know, nicotine vapor, and I had switched over to the pouches, and then I just gotten to the point where I was like, you know, forgetting to put a pouch in, you know, or I would just not think about it, because I would wake up, because what would happen is I used to wake up, this has been a big change, I used to wake up, you know, I check my phone, hit my nicotine, like, dude, that is brain rot, you know what I mean? And to be able to just wake up and I'll still pick my phone up, but I'll just turn it over and put it down. I say, you know what, I'm not going to start my day like that. I'm going to thank God that I woke up and that my purpose is not fulfilled yet. And just by doing that, it sets your day on a whole new projection, because I always get those morning nicotine cravings. And so if I can wake up and pray, he's like, your mind's on me. You know what I mean? Your mind's going to be on me. You're not going to be thinking about, you know what I mean? He really is going to break that chain. You know, it's not going to be holding you down anymore, because you're now starting to float with the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. And there's nothing that can be held back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's honestly, it's those small changes in your life that can make such a huge difference in your walk with God, and truly having, like you said, a relationship with Jesus. This isn't, you know, a lot of people say it's a lifestyle change, and it truly is, but it's not just a lifestyle change because you force it to be. It's a lifestyle change because you want it to be.
Absolutely.
Even just a subtle change. When I go to work in the mornings, I used to go on the internet. I'd check Wall Street Journal or a bunch of different news places. And most people know the news is filled with nothing but negativity. Nothing. So I start off my day completely negative. Like, yep, this happened the other day, or, you know, stock market's down, or whatever, you know, the case may be. But now I go to work, I open up my Bible, I try to read at least two chapters of something in the Bible every morning. I say my prayer, and that's kind of like my daily devotion. So instead of starting off my day in negativity, I actually started off with positivity instead, and trying to find another way through the day and trying to find that light.
Yeah, I think that's just like small progressive steps. You know, it's like, imagine there's just like a skyscraper, and it's got a big ladder all the way to the top of it, and it's got a lot less steps, but they're more spread out. You know, you could get up, you're probably not going to get up there because you're going to get tired from having to, you know, jump and pull yourself up on each one. But if there was like one small step all the way and thousands of little steps all the way up, it would just be like, it would just take time.
Yep.
But you're going to get up there. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? And especially in owning a business too, that's been one of the things that I just understood in the beginning. That kind of took me in the long run. I've always been kind of an instant turnover person. I always wanted an instant turnover. But I just thought about it as in, like, instead of working an hourly job, I want my time to start being invested into something. So, you know, every hour I spend on my business is going to be exponentially stacked over time. And so that's also, you know, business has also helped me understand the principles of, you know, having a relationship with Jesus, because I thought I was just going to get a new heart and it was going to be like, boom, that's it. You know what I mean? But one thing Pastor Joby taught me is it doesn't end at the cross. It starts at the cross. And that's just been the boom, mind blowing. You know what I mean? You crucify your flesh and then you carry your cross and you follow Jesus. And that's, I don't know. That's crazy. I never understood that, like, growing up, you know, it seems like the end because yeah. the cross was always used as an execution device, but you know, he redirected the whole, oh, it's awesome.
You made a good point there. Like you said, it starts at the cross. It doesn't end there. Like, just because you got saved today doesn't mean you're a completely different person tomorrow. It's like, no, you still have all those same temptations you had before. You know, if you like weed yesterday, you're still going to like weed tomorrow. Like, that's still going to be, like, in your, you know, in your soul. It's something you enjoy doing and maybe something you need to turn away from. So, I mean, if you were an alcoholic yesterday and you decided to get saved tomorrow, still an alcoholic, like that doesn't change. And right. it's like you said, it's those baby steps and it just takes time. Do not expect a person to be saved that was saved last week to be the best person in the world, because they may not be. And not judging anybody, not saying that you're not. But as long as you're making a genuine change and you're doing those subtle things to just baby step your way to being a better person, then you're making progress and you're walking with the Lord. You've taken up your cross and you're just one step at a time.
Absolutely. And that's where, and that exactly what you said, you're taking up your cross. And that's, we have bad days. And as a Christian, I know that the devil lies to all of us. He wants you to know that he wants you to think that, you know, you're not good enough. He's like, I know you're preaching it, but do you really believe it? And it's yeah. like, he wants you to believe this. But when you can truly understand and you wear that belt of truth that we're supposed to be equipped with, and you know who you are, and you know that you're the son of the King of the universe, it just makes, like, you know, it makes you feel like you have authority and you just walk with, like, confidence. You know, he gives you this inner confidence that's, and it's like, it's, I always had confidence, but in a prideful way. And I, you know, I repent from that and I turn away from that life. And I always imagined my life going a whole different way, you know, and he just gave me this new heart. And I was just telling him one thing that I realized as I am just, like, finishing up the Gospels, as Jesus was walking through and preaching, he was also the boss. I mean, that man had authority everywhere he went, to kings and rulers. I mean, he was obviously, like, hated, but the love always overcome.
I love the there's a story of a woman that, like, I don't remember what her, and I hate this. I hate when I can't, like, quote, you know,
yeah.
but she, I don't remember what her issue was, but she needed to be healed. I don't think she could walk. I think she was paralyzed, and she knew that if she could just touch the hem of Jesus's robe, that she'd be healed. She had that much faith and love for Jesus that if I just touch the hem of his robe, I'll be healed. And she was. And Jesus felt it. He felt it go out of him. And he's like, who touched me?
Right.
He's like looking around trying to figure out who just touched him. And this woman gets up and she takes her chair and she leaves.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, so this woman, she had saw that Jesus had already, and she had already heard that Jesus had previously healed people. So her level of faith was by reference of other people telling her, hey, he's been healing people. You know what I mean? And she has physically seen people, like, be healed by Jesus. And so to be a believer in today's time and to not be physically being, to see God, you know, we don't physically see God. We don't physically see Jesus. We can see what is going on and being moved by the Spirit. But to be able to still have that connection with God and have, like, strong faith in today's time, that is, on, like, the grand timeline of faith, higher than the Apostle Paul's. The Bible says that's held higher than the angels of heaven, because we're having so much faith in something we don't see. And the Bible says, for in that hope we are saved, because you can't hope for what you see. You know what I'm saying? We can't hope for what we see, but in that hope we're saved. So just when you think about that and you start to feel like, you know, your little bit of faith is, you know, not anything compared to so-and-so next door. Just remember that little bit of faith you have is
it's a mustard seed.
It's a mustard seed that is held up to the veins of Jesus's heart, and he's taking it up with him, and he, because that mustard seed to you is everything to him. You know, that second that you started to believe that Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior, the heavens rejoiced, and your name was written down in the book of life. Over, right there, done.
Yeah,
it's going to be a battle from you. It's still going to be a battle as long as you're on this earth, until the day that he calls you home. You know.
Oh yeah, sin doesn't go away. Like temptation and sin doesn't go away the moment you do it. In fact, it turns up 100-fold.
Right.
Because Satan didn't have to try before. He was like, oh, they're just doing their own thing. Perfect.
Absolutely. It says that when you kick a demon out of the house and you sweep the house, the demon leaves and he comes back with 7 more.
Yep.
You know, and it's like we kick him out and then it comes back harder. But we have faith that Jesus is. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. You know what I mean? We have faith that that's true. So if we believe that, we're free. You know what I mean? And if we're suited up with the armor of God, we know how to combat the lies, and we're like constantly in the Word, we're going to be still dealing with the mind games, but we're going to be progressively making our way through. And I thought it was kind of funny. I saw this like motivational video by Theo Von, you know what I mean? I was like, dude, I've never seen a motivational Theo Von video. But he was like, there's beauty in the struggle, man. He's like, that's what it's all about. You know, it's just, you start to get this pride of, you know what I mean? He did this for me, and this is happening, you know what I mean? I'm not there yet, but I know one day I will be. And even if one day I'm not and I die, I was on my way, and God knew the intention of my heart, and he gave me that new heart, so he wants to come back with him, you know?
For sure, and God has a plan for everybody here. At the end of the day, God's not going to let us go until we're ready to go, and I don't think I'm ready to go, personally. Right. I hope that maybe that my purpose here is truly to let this podcast get to a point where we're speaking to millions and billions of people, and we reach thousands, you know, we're reaching hundreds of people a day instead of maybe just a, you know, handful that might actually listen. So I'm all for it. I'm ready for this journey, and I've been ready for this journey, and I'm taking this journey, and it's been a wild ride. There's been a lot of good things that have happened to me, but I've looked back at some of the bad things that have happened. I'm realizing that only happened because I let it happen. I was walking my own path. I was walking the wide path, as we had mentioned in the previous podcast, and it's not the path that God wanted me on, and he wanted me here and now, and there were a lot of things that in my life I think could have panned out differently, but if they had panned out differently, I don't know if I'd be sitting where I'm sitting today.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, like, all of those wrong decisions is what built our testimony. And I know that sounds like, oh, I'm going to go make bad decisions to build my testimony. No, don't think about it like that. How I'm saying it is imagine like your sin is, every sin is $1. You know what I mean? Or in the Bible terms, a denarii, you know?
Yeah.
And you got the person who has the $50, and then you got the person with $500, and they're both indebted to this person, $50 and $500. And both of those debts are paid off. Who's going to be happier? And this is what Jesus was asking the disciples. And they said, the person with the higher debt. And that's exactly right. So it's like, when we know that Jesus has paid it all, and I know all the wrong I've done, and I know every single sin down to the nuts and bolts was already washed in his blood. Oh, that just, it makes me overflow with joy. And I feel like I ramble too much on social media. I'm killing my Instagram stories. I'm killing TikTok, Snapchat, same thing. People are unadding me. I'm just talking so much about Jesus. So, but I also know that there's people that are listening, and I'm having people ask me stuff. And, you know, I want to be able to call everybody, but with the business, I'm always on the phone and everything. So I'm doing it as I can. So I want to be able to refer you to information that's recorded that you can go back to and have scripture with it. So Phillip's the scripture whiz. He's got all the notes, I'm running around with a chicken like my head cut off, so I'm writing the notes down as we go. It was pretty impressive. I mean, we've always clicked, but to be able to bounce off these scriptures and tie them together is awesome.
Oh yeah, and the best thing is being able to like recall. I love being able to recall stories from the Bible, not even just straight scripture. Just like, oh yeah, I remember when this happened, or Jesus said this thing, and this person did this, and this happened. Like, I love that, and that, to me, that's my favorite part. But maybe to get into a little bit more scripture, as far as, you know, walking on your path with Jesus, not only letting him guide you, but he's a teacher as well. And if you allow him into not only your heart, but also into your mind, he'll put things in your mind that you may not have known before. And something that kind of relates to this, if you go to Psalms chapter 32, verse 8, tells us, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So God's going to teach you his way, and he's going to show you with through his eyes the way things should be. And by opening your mind up to that concept, you realize that God only wants the best for you. So, yeah, we have things in our lives that may make life seem better. We have things like alcohol and other paraphernalia that you know, makes life a little bit better in the moment. But living through God, life is great all the time.
All the time. God's
all the time.
All the time. Like when they say the well that never satisfies, I meant the well that always satisfies. That, like, I can't say it enough. You know, that's why it overflows, and I'm just always talking about it. Cause I'm like, yo, you don't know about this, man. Like, bro, let me tell you how to get this too. Like, yes. I'm trying to tell people about this, and you know, Jesus freak or whatever. But I'm like, dude, it's never Jesus aside, but applicable to you, this will change everything for you. This will change everything. It's an abundant lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're going to have new desires, and you're going to thirst for Jesus instead of things of this world that are never going to satisfy you. But it says to chase, you know, when you follow Jesus, that's quoting back to the John 10, that it's going to be an abundant lifestyle. You know what I mean? You're going to be taken care of. You don't have to worry about that.
For sure. And I'll be honest with you, in my walk, there are certain things I would have never dreamed I would have been like wanting to do. I've always been kind of a selfish person, just like doing my own thing. And yep, I'm going to go here and not worry about whatever everybody else is wanting to do. Like, I've just always been that type of person. But now I find myself wanting to serve other people and wanting to help other people more and more in my life. And I'm not quite there 100% yet, but I'm definitely on that path. And that's the path I want to go down, because I realize that's what I want. I mean, to making other people happy makes me happy.
Right.
And genuinely happy, and being overfilled with joy is
joy.
Joy through Jesus is the best thing. And I cannot recommend it to anybody more. Like, I get more happiness reading what Jesus did for other people and how I might be able to apply that in my life than I've gotten through any TV show, through any drugs I've done, through any moment I've spent with people. Like, I get more joy in that than anything.
I think the biggest difference that most unbelievers don't understand is the difference between happiness and joy. So everybody experiences happiness. You know, when you pick up that Big Mac meal and you take that first bite and you're just like, oh, dude, I don't know if this is the best Big Mac I ever had, or life is just, I'm just happy. You know what I mean? But then afterwards, when you get a stomach ache and you're bloated, you're like, gosh, you know what I mean? Yeah. That happiness really faded away really quickly. But joy is, it goes down to the roots of your soul. I mean, even when I get flustered, in a second, literally in a second, I say, Jesus, can you take this?
Yep.
You know, and I'll fight it, and I'll go on and on and on like a little hard head. But the second that I ask Jesus to take it, he takes it. It's gone, just like that. And the crazy thing is, before I read the verse that said that he takes it, I didn't understand that. I knew we were supposed to give things to God, but I didn't understand that he actually takes it. Because what was happening was, I would say, God, take this. And he would take it. And I would sit there and I'm like, I would just think about it again. I'm like, God, just take this. Yeah. And he's like, all right,
And it's gone again.
And it's gone. And you're like, I already took it. And the thing is, it's like we almost crave chaos, you know? And that's the thing. As humans, we crave chaos. And I know it sounds crazy. Like, you don't literally, like, crave chaos. But if you've ever seen a video of, like, a car going towards a speeding wall, just cuts off right before the car hits the speeding wall. Or, like, is, you know what I'm saying? Like, right before the car hits the wall, the video just cuts off. Everybody's like, oh, you know what I mean? We wanted to see that. And that's how it is in our life. Like, when I'm sitting at my house and my house is perfectly clean and it's just me and my boon and we're watching TV, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I just like, I want some extra noise in here. Yep. You know what I mean? I want just some kind of extra noise in here. I'll go turn music on while I'm watching TV, and then I'll be cooking something. And then the next thing you know, it sounds like a factory in there, and there's all these noises going on, and it like comforts me. You know what I mean? It's almost like, but then that's how the same thing goes. Cause it's like, I sit there in nothingness, which nothingness is like peace. Like, getting older, I'm starting to realize to be sitting in nothing is awesome. You know what I mean? Oh, like, yeah. That's the reason I got flustered today. I just had so much going on. So it's like, Jesus will give us this feeling of just peace. It's here you are. You got what you asked. It's gone.
Oh, exactly.
And then I'll be sitting there and I'm like, I'm bored. You know what I mean? Like, and I try to think about it, and then it's like, it only gets worse. But the second that you can realize that it's only going to get worse, and I feel like it's such a simple concept. And the same way with skills, the most simple skills are the hardest, right? So it's like a guy that carves statues with a chainsaw. It's so simple. You know what I mean? He's putting a chainsaw to wood. But that is a very difficult thing to learn.
Yeah.
But it's like the person that, you know what I mean? Like a cooking recipe, cooking lasagna, like it's got 50 ingredients in it, but it's just step by step.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's honestly, it's when you think about it, religion and Christianity in itself looks complicated on the surface, but like you said, it's step by step.
Yeah.
It's literally just step by step. You just do these small things. You start doing daily devotionals, or that's how I got my family into it, to kind of give my testimony. My family, I didn't come from a family of saved Christian believers. They were Christian, but not necessarily believers, especially not in the way we are today. We were completely different people than we were even 6 months ago. So I literally just started by saying, hey, why don't we just open the Bible up and we'll just do daily devotionals, you know, for a little while. We don't have to go to church. Church isn't, you know, necessary. That was my original thought, and obviously it's wrong now. I went into that in the previous podcast, but after doing those things, I'm like, you know, it wouldn't hurt. Maybe go to church once a week so we can get a little bit better guidance. And that turned into, well, why don't we go to Sunday school beforehand? It's only an hour, you know? And now I'm happy to say my parents are saved and I believe are getting baptized within the next week or two. And that brings me true joy because it's almost a year after I've been baptized and seeing them go through it. And that brings me happiness.
Awesome. Yeah, dude, that is like the dream of dreams, bro. That's part of your testimony too. It's crazy, dude.
Oh yeah.
I feel like that when I convince a friend, you know, and I see that little spark of them, I'm like, oh, let's go, bro. I can imagine parents, man. That's awesome.
Oh yeah. Like, to being able to, and by no means am I saying this is 100% me. Like, my mom has been in my ear for years to try to get closer to Jesus, and right. Both me and my dad are just been like, no. Like, leave us alone. And our hard-headed selves finally came to Jesus. And I think my mom is kind of being renewed in that.
Yeah, I think it's finding the truth.
Oh, yes.
Once you finally hear the truth, you know it. Like, you know it. I feel like we always thought we know the truth. And a lot of church people think they know the truth. But once you know it, you know, the truth sets you free. You know what's, you know, like, there is no turning back. And so that's why when I hear of people that used to be Christians and then they turned away from the church, I just want to start by saying, like, you know, people hurt you. You weren't hurt by Jesus. When the Spirit encounters you and comes to live inside of you, that Spirit doesn't go away. You know what I mean? You can act against it and you can still sin, but there's no turning back. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's no going backwards. You could be less on fire, you know. The fire can go out a little bit, but it doesn't completely go away. You know, yes. I mean, you're already written down. He's already using you, you know.
Exactly. And kind of to expand on Nick's point of peace there, I actually have a piece of scripture written down again. I feel like I'm just rattling these off one after another, but Luke chapter 1, verse 79, it says, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. So like Nick said, you know, things may be, you know, he could be sitting completely peaceful and he wanted it that way. He let God take it from him, something from him, and he's finally peace, and then it comes back. And he's like, take it away again, and then it comes back. But Jesus is peace. And if you let him take those things away and you try not to dwell on them and continue to walk forward and to continue to hold your cross on your shoulder, he's going to continue to take those things away and he's going to lead you to peace.
I think taking it by moment by moment is what really makes the difference. You know, as I would say, just like statistically, most Christians just, you know, spend time with God on Sundays.
Yep.
And I'm not saying everybody, right? But I'm saying statistically. So the more you start to like get in with him, the more you start to, you know, so it's like, there's like a statistic. It says like, you know, people who go to church two times a week are less likely to drink, you know, just on a number. Right. And it's 'cause you're just thinking about that. And as soon as you realize that it's not a burden and it's not a scripted prayer you have to pray, you just have to talk to God. You don't even have to close your eyes. You don't even have to take your hat off. You just have to talk to God. You don't have to say, you have to say like, Jesus, this is me, you know, calling on your name right now. And if you ask him to take it, it's gone right there. And if you can think every single second, every time that the devil shoots that flaming arrow at you, you can be like, whoop, caught it, Kobe. You know what I mean? You'd be like, take this, Jesus, and slam dunk this. It's gone. Yeah. You know, he takes it every single time.
Every single time. I mean, so I haven't really talked about with a lot of people, but I struggle a little bit with depression, a lot actually. but when I have those moments, when they come on me, I try not to dwell on them anymore. After being saved, I realized I could just let God take it away from me. I can ask him to take it away from me, and he'll put me around friends that'll cheer me up, or he'll just simply just go, hey, why are you having these thoughts? And the thoughts will be gone in the snap of a finger, like Thanos, like it's just gone. And honestly, that is the best feeling in the world when you realize like, oh, that's right, I'm dumb. And God is I'm young and dumb, and God is truly the light that is guiding me through, and he's taking these things away from me, and he's burning the bad thoughts away.
Yeah.
And it's truly a blessing, honestly.
He's the light. Like, we're born into the world of darkness, and as soon as we accept him into us, that light starts right there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you're now a light walking in a dark world. And the more you feed that fire, that bigger that light goes, and the more people can start to feel and see something different in you from farther away, you know? And at the moment this is the moment that it flicked in me. So I can't, it was really a process, you know, and that's the thing is we want it to happen right now. We want it microwave for right now, but you know, It was in the oven for me. So I was actually at a party in Gainesville, and this was after I'd graduated high school, spending time with my friends, and I was drinking, and I hit a rip off this bong, and I just looked at my friend and I said, I'm about to pass out. And I passed out, and I just could feel something was different. It didn't feel, I'd fainted before, like on a football field. I just felt that something was very weird about this one. And everybody gathers around me. Everybody's trying to talk to me. And I'm just out. In my head, I can hear everybody. And I'm trying to answer them. But my body's just not with it. And normally when you faint, you're only out for minute tops, you know. This was... I was out for a couple, you know, at this point. And they're trying to grab my heartbeat. My friend was there. He was a UF nurse, and he was trying to get my heartbeat and my pulse. And he's like, there's nothing, bro. There's nothing, bro. He's like, there's not. And I was sweating, right? My skin's white. and I got chill bumps, but I'm sweating. Like, everything is just going crazy. Can't explain it, right? And I just feel like I'm, like, starting to get out of my body, and I'm starting to feel this overwhelming darkness. And this is what I chose myself, and this is the path I chose that led to. And I just felt like I was being sucked away out of my body. And it was the feeling of death is what that was. And I felt like it was over. I thought it was over. At that moment, I'm like, this power is too strong. I'm gone. The only thing I knew, I was like, please, 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 please. I said the name of Jesus. I said, Jesus, please save me. I will never do this again. And I just remember just being sucked right back in. And I just like look up and I'm looking around and I'm just like, I couldn't speak. Like, I literally could not speak. And the craziest part is you would think, bop, you think that would snap me right in. Nope.
You think that'd be a slap over the head?
He would have slapped me the right way. You know what I mean?
We're really getting into the midst of young and dumb.
Oh my gosh, man. It took me another 3 years after that. It took me another 3 years of just making bad decisions and, you know, like, the Bible says that hell wasn't created for us. It was created for the people that choose it. And I felt like I was choosing these bad decisions that had literally began to create this personal hell. You know, I was living this personal hell where I just had such an overwhelming anxiety that I felt like I couldn't, you know, I didn't want to be there. You know what I mean? I wanted to either, one, crawl out of my skin, two, take a drug that would take my mind off of it, or three, die. You know what I mean? And that's a bad place to be, man. That is rock bottom. And honestly, at that point, I thought it was worse than dying. So yeah. I would consider that hell. And I chose to be there. And I did not understand. I still at this point, you know, couldn't put my finger on it. What was the answer? You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, dude, I was so dumb, man. Literally.
Well, if you think about it, it goes back to seeking happiness over joy.
Absolutely. Boom. Everything, you hit that nail, Philip.
Everything you did was like, oh, temporary, take this drug, and I'm happy for a little bit, and then it's gone. But you know who never leaves us? Jesus never leaves us. God absolutely never leaves us.
He never changes. And you know what I mean? He never breaks his promises. That's the crazy thing. When you can understand that he never breaks his promise, and when the Bible says that he promises you that you will be free, and that he promises you a new heart, he promises you joy, he promises you all the good fruits of the Spirit, and like you're like, I'm not ready for that.
Oh,
you know what I mean? It's going to take me a couple days. I got to think about it. Who told you you have tomorrow? No one told you you have tomorrow. You know what I mean? The fact you woke up today is a blessing that you're not finished yet. And you know what I mean? That's why they say the good always die young. You know what I mean? Have you noticed the evil wicked always live the longest? Maybe that's God giving them a chance. You know what I mean? He's like giving them a chance.
It's like over and over.
The people that are saved and rooted in their faith, it's always those people that get sick. Those people that get called home early. He's like, you know what? I don't want you to have to deal with us in the future. Come home. You know, come into the kingdom with me. I'm ready for you to start walking in full health again. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I just think to be able to understand that ties right back to give us just that ultimate sense of peace. And to be able to live with peace in today's world is a rare thing. You know?
Truthfully. I mean, it's hard just to get on the internet anymore and not see something negative that makes you think like, oh, the world's just such a bad place. Right. And, you know, I have a motorcycle and I rode my motorcycle the other day. And the only thing I can think about as I'm riding through the woods is like, wow, this is beautiful. Everything's green. Everything's like, it's peaceful out. I had even stopped at one point to like take a video and there's an elk like just going off in the background. And I'm like, this is truly beautiful. This is what God intended us to enjoy. But instead we're wrapped up in what Martha did the other day or, you know, what's happening hundreds of miles away and you know, getting into Israel and the atrocities that have happened there. We just don't live in a world of peace, and our only way of finding it is through God.
And I think understanding that we're not battling flesh and blood, we're battling the darknesses and the powers, You know what I mean? We're battling the real enemy that we have. And those thoughts that come into your mind, they're either from God or they're from the devil. And it's literally that simple. You know, the angel on one shoulder and the devil on one shoulder, it's not just a cartoon. Every single thought is that way.
Exactly.
And when you can understand that, and you can understand that Jesus is the truth and the devil is a lie, it makes it easier. You know what I mean? Because if you know something's a lie, you're not going to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you suspect, you know, that your ex is cheating on you and she lies to you and you know she's lying to you, you're not going to get back with her. But if you didn't know, you know, you would blindly choose it, you know? And so that would tie back to telling the tree by its fruits, you know, and to be able to discern what is from God and not from God is to be able to choose the right steps and to be able to walk into the Spirit and the life that He has for us.
Right. I mean, I think we can kind of transition here into saying you have to trust in God's plan. God has a plan for all of us, and we don't know what it is. You might say, for me, I was like, after high school, I'm going to graduate, and I'm going to go to UCF, and I'm going to live down there, and I'm going to, you know, work at whatever place that'll hire me, and I'll have an office job making whatever dollars an hour, and I'll be able to afford rent. And then COVID happened, and then rents went through the roof, and I got a job in my hometown, and my entire plan was flipped on its head, but it was my plan. And now I recognize the fact that, oh, this was God's plan, because if it weren't for God, I wouldn't be working around the group of people I worked around, which are highly religious people, luckily. And it was through them that I actually started to actually think, and I wouldn't have been able to go to church with my papa, who over, you know, time and time again had tried to get me to go. And finally, because I was only 45 minutes down the road, was able to go and go to church and be saved. Had I gone down to UCF, I wouldn't have met the girlfriend that I currently have, who is truly amazing. And all of these things would not have happened had I been down in Orlando doing God knows what. Truthfully, God knows
right.
what. Down in Orlando in my own apartment, you know, yeah. with a bunch of college, you know, people. And it's just a bad environment.
Yeah. And yeah, it's crazy because I was, you know, I was the same way. I was just in school. I was going to get my degree. I was thinking, I'm like, man, I am not excited to graduate and go sit in an office. And I just jumped away from it. You know, I felt this, and the weirdest thing is when I turned away from school to start my business, I felt this small sense of like purpose. And I started to feel like I just walked into my path. And the crazy thing is that feeling went away very fast. So the feeling like hinted at me to me that way, and then as soon as I started to choose my own path, the feeling went away. But then later on, when I encountered the Spirit, and then now looking back at it, that's what that was. That's it was literally I'd already had, like, you know, I had knew who God was, so I kind of understood what a purpose was that He had for me. But to look back on it and to feel that little pull of my heart. And even though it was 2 years after that I found Jesus, He turned me, and He always has a plan for you. And even, like, no matter where you're at on the whole timeline of the plan, you just have to, you know, find the beauty in the struggle. Because when you finally get to the promise that He has for you, you're going to enjoy it so much more. You know what I mean?
And honestly, and to expand on my story a little bit, this is kind of something I don't know if I've told a whole lot of people this. But I was down in Ocala. My sister had lived there, and I had agreed to house it, and it was close enough to Orlando I could go the 2 days that I needed to go to class. And on the second day I needed to go to class down at UCF, I was driving my truck, and all of a sudden it started giving me issues, and luckily I was able to limp it back to her house, and it prevented me from going to class that second day. And I'm sitting there like, I'm literally broke. I have no money to try to fix this. And luckily I'd gotten help from my father. He had pitched in and helped me get everything fixed on it. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, what am I going to do? Because I have no money. I'm going to a school that I'm going to have to commute to because I can't afford to live down there, and trying to find a job. And I finally get a call from the place I had interviewed at. This is the place I currently work at. They had called me at my lowest moment, at the moment like I needed help. And at the end of the day, God had my back. God knew what I needed in that moment. And he said, I'm going to put these people in your path, and we'll see, you know, which path you choose from that point forward. And I get a phone call from my boss now. He's like, hey, wonder if you can start Tuesday. And I'm like, please, yes.
And the craziest thing is, like, if you would have only known, like, think about how you were just so upset and you're just like in your lowest moment. And if you just would have known in 10 days that you were going to get a phone call, that would be the best 10 days of your life. But the thing is, the moment that you start to trust God, every day is those 10 days, because you just know that your purpose isn't finished yet. And to be able to wake up every single day is such a blessing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And honestly, the story is horrible, because I'd like to sit here and say, well, I sat down on the couch and I just prayed, Lord, please help me. But no, I sat on that couch and went, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?
What am I going to do? Literally, no, seriously, what am I going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing I can do.
No, and nothing. And then God was like, here, I can help you. Yeah. And he handed it to me. And it's been truly a blessing working where I work at.
I think that just ties into, like, you know, when we get to heaven, like, there's just so many people that think that, like, by acting good, they're going to get themselves to heaven. Also by what Jesus did, and they're going to get to heaven. They're going to be like, let's go, we did it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then Jesus can be like, you know, we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know?
I did it.
Okay.
Jesus right. Saying, I did
it. I did this. Absolutely.
Dude, there's I can't quote it word for word, but there's a part in the scripture where people are saying, hey, I did all of these things for you. I did all these things for you. He said, be gone from me. I never knew you. Turn away from me. And that, like, that line kind of scares me a little bit.
Oh, it's very scary.
The first time I heard it, I was like, ooh. But no, it's recognize the fact, no, I did those things. Like, God saying, I did those things. You didn't do them. You did them for me, sure, but that's not what's going to get you into heaven.
Yeah.
It's recognizing I have done all of these things for you.
Right. And that right there is, I think, where the verse, you know, faith without good works is dead.
Yep.
And it's not that you have to do good works to, you know, make your faith valid. It's if you actually have faith, there's going to be some good works.
Oh, for sure.
You get a new heart. I mean, there's no, you're going to be able to tell by the fruits of the tree. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, like, exactly, like, it's like what Joby said, and he said, going to church every Sunday makes you as much of a Christian as putting your head in an oven makes you a biscuit, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know.
Well, you can, there's another story in the Bible. I think it's a parable that Jesus speaks about, where he's talking about the different servants and how this king gives these different servants X amount of money. And when he comes back, or he gives them all the same amount or something like that, or something to that effect. Or no, he gives them all different amounts. Sorry. I'm rambling on because I don't remember it word for word. But he goes off and he comes back and he asks the first person, what did you do? And it's like, oh, I multiplied it by X amount. And he's like, okay, cool. And he gives him that amount plus more, whatever, of sheep or something to herd the flock. And he goes down the line, this continues, and then he gets to the last person. They're like, well, I was worried about losing it, so I just held it to myself, and it's still just the same amount. And that parable is trying to tell you that you need to spread the word and multiply your faith and try to get other people and to do those good works. So again, like you said, faith without works is dead. And so yes, having faith is important, but also doing the good works with faith. But if you have the faith, you'll also do the good works. It's kind of a weird cycle.
It's just a fruit of it. You know what I'm saying? It's not something that's like,
well, it's like a mustard seed.
It's like, I'll never, if I know you have faith, I'll never have to tell you to do good works.
No.
If I have to tell you to do good works, and it's like you haven't truly experienced, you know what I mean? Because when I'm telling you, like I said, I can't tell you the day, but I can tell you the change. I can tell you the, you know, around the month where I just was like, man, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be bad anymore. Like, I think it's just always about being cool. And one thing you start to realize is, you know, the followers of Jesus weren't cool.
No.
Like, Jesus was never cool. And it's never cool. It's never been cool to love Jesus. And, you know, Jesus says, don't worry if they hate you because they hated me first.
Yep.
You know, and it makes me hold my chest up a little bit. You know what I mean? It's like, I may not be a disciple, but I do have some strong faith, and you know, I want to share it with you. I want to share my light into this darkness world. I want you to ask why I'm filled with joy. Why are you always happy? What are you taking? What drug are you on? Brother, I'm on Jesus. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you about it. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, one of the biggest lines, every time I went to work, back in high school, every time I went to work, there was one person that was always like, you always smile. You smile too much. And now I'm like, you know what? I want somebody to say that because I have a reason to smile. And it's because Jesus loves me and I know it.
Amen.
He sacrificed himself. I'm clean. I'm righteous.
You just walk around with such a confidence. Yes. Like, I'm son of the king, man. Can't say nothing to me. Slap me. I'm going to turn the other cheek.
Exactly.
And it's like, before Christ, if I slap somebody and they turn the other cheek, I feel like that would just be like a moment of self-reflection for me. Like, I would just be like, I almost don't want to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all right, I'm going to go home now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And
honestly, and you can think in that moment, what did I do to get myself here? Why is this person slapping me?
Right.
Like, what did I do? You know, obviously nobody off the street is just going to go up and randomly slap you. You know what I mean? People might rob you, but nobody's going to go up off the street and just slap you. So just turn the other cheek and go, what did I do to get here? You know, why did I, you know, make this person mad? So,
yeah. I think it just it all around emotion, you know, and emotion.
Yes,
they're a good servant, they're a bad master. Just realize that your emotions are a gift for you, and to be able to really experience the experiences that God has gifted us, but we're not to be ruled by them. You know, we're supposed to hold them obedient to Christ.
Let Christ be your guide. Let Him be your teacher. Let Him be your light. Let Him guide you. I'd like to take this moment. If somebody would like to pause their podcast, maybe they want to have a moment to pray, maybe to save themselves, to seek somebody to pray with. And if you will, just share this with somebody. And we thank you for joining us. Honestly, it's been truly amazing to be able to do this podcast and to be able to have people from around the world actually be able to listen to us. So, Nick, if you had anything.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Just we're also on social media, so if you guys would like to follow us on social media and keep up with us there, we're going to post updates on what's going to be on the next episodes.
Yep.
And updates as well on when that's going to be coming out.
And yeah, feel free. We're on both Instagram and Facebook. Reach out to us. Message us. If you have questions, even if we don't answer back via DM, maybe it's something we can actually start doing in our podcast. We'd love to be able to answer questions on hand and to maybe offer guidance through God, through scripture, and be able to give you just a little nugget of information to help you in your journey.
Yeah. And if you're tuning in and you enjoy these podcasts, feel free to go over to the Young, Dumb, and Righteous Instagram and shoot us a message on any questions that you might have. So we can bring up some questions, you know, by believers and non-believers alike. You know, we want to hear what you guys have to say, and we can dive a little deeper into that and relate it to what's in the Word and, you know, apply some truth to it.
But we thank you all, and thank you again if you've stuck it out this long. Again, we should be back hopefully every Wednesday. We're looking to release every Wednesday at noon, and maybe we can go forward from there. But thank you again, and peace out. God loves you.